puts it in! The U.S. go up! What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra!
Boyd will try a long hit! What a goal from Lloyd! This is spectacular! It's hit with no regard for humanity! Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, it's been a while since I've been in studio. I think over 2 years due to the pandemic. So I got a little bit lazy and was doing everything out of my house. I am here tonight. Andrew Carlson is here. I'm seeing everybody at Gal Media. Keyshawn Johnson's out there. I mean, what more can we ask for? This is awesome with a capital A, Andrew. It's great to see you.
Oh, it's great to have you back in studio, Glenn. I didn't know if it was ever going to happen, but good to see you back and good to have everyone together again, you know?
Yeah, I'm excited to be here tonight. And you know what? It's going to spur me to be back in studio now from now on. And it's great hearing from and seeing all the guys, Cody and company, on the way out here, who have been very kind to me in helping promote the show. And Boyd, we have a good one tonight, and I'm really excited about a couple of interviews we're going to run tonight, especially Jonathan Dos Santos of Club America. So Club America is coming here this summer to take on Manchester City at Energy Stadium. I think everybody knows that. Tickets right now, and I would get in on it now if I were you, only $35. Jonathan Dos Santos was moved over to Barcelona in Spain as a little kid. His father was Zizinho, played for Club America, went over with his brother Gio, was at Barcelona. I think played about 14 to 15 first-team games, but he wasn't going to break in there. And he did at Villarreal, became a very big piece of them, then went to the LA Galaxy. And he's now back at his father's club, which is a very, very big deal to him and his family. Now, the tie-in I have with him is that I played on the Houston Dynamos in the 80s with his uncle, Beto. So anyway, it's going to be a great interview. It's Jonathan Dos Santos, Club America. And for those of you who are Dynamo fans, I will ask him about Hector Herrera and if he's had conversation with Hector Herrera about Major League Soccer, about coming to the United States, and all of those things that you would want one soccer host to ask Jonathan Dos Santos. So he'll be on the show. Also, Houston Dynamo winger Tyler Pascher. Going to talk to him a little bit about the Dynamo's struggles in the attacking third and scoring goals here. They have lost three in a row. They're trying to turn things around here. They will play San Antonio FC tomorrow night in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. I would expect a little bit more of a mixed squad in that one. And then on Saturday, they will take on Nashville. San Antonio FC, by the way, beat Austin FC in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. Very dramatically, too, by the way. Elliot Collier in the 82nd minute, and then Carter Manley would score in stoppage time. Now, this was a huge win for San Antonio FC. And let me rest, let me just say this. Rest assured that guys coming in that are playing on a USL championship team, guys that have had a taste of Major League Soccer like Carter Manley, they are looking at guys on the Houston Dynamo and they're saying to themselves, I'm as good as that guy. I should be in MLS. This is natural. This is why they will be ultra motivated tomorrow. And I'm sure there's going to be some San Antonio FC fans that make the trip up I-10. And I think it's a pretty cool dynamic that the Dynamo have been drawn against San Antonio FC, who knocked out Austin FC. And if you remember, Spurs Entertainment was hoping to be an MLS entry. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, comes the Columbus Crew. They take the MLS spot. And here's San Antonio now that has to kind of rethink what they're going to do in the future, because their end game at the time with Tim Holt, the president, and that organization was to get into Major League Soccer. So it's very, very interesting. Dynamo are now eighth in the West, three straight losses, two in a row at home now with San Antonio FC tomorrow. Tickets still available. We'll give some away. And then on Saturday, they got Nashville coming in with Hani Mukhtar and Joe Willis. The loss at D.C., yeah, it was a staggered road performance. Let's be honest. It's the first of four games in 12 days. We'll talk a little bit about that game. Saturday's game you can catch on AT&T Sportsnet. Better yet, get out to the game. Eddie Robinson, Danny Rodriguez, and I will have the call of that at the stadium. Hoping to see you out there. So a lot going on. Now, we will get our Arsenal update right now with Andrew Carlson. Okay, so things are looking good. The big one is this Thursday. It's Tottenham Hotspur against Arsenal. This battle for the fourth and final Champions League spot is a good one. You and I had a nice discussion before, Andrew. Now, as a huge Arsenal fan, how are you feeling about this going into that on Thursday? Because for Spurs, they have to win that game.
Look, I need tips on how to hold my breath, because if I could, I would just hold it all the way through Thursday. Unfortunately, I have not figured out how to do that yet, so
don't do that. I don't want to have to do,
CPR out here.
Yeah, no.
So I haven't figured that out yet, so I think I'm just going to be really stressed out until the match is over on Thursday. But you mentioned it, Glenn. Spurs need to win this more than Arsenal does. If Arsenal wins, they're guaranteed fourth place. They'll have a 7-point lead with two games left. They'll be looking at Chelsea in third, who they're only a point behind or 2 points behind now versus Spurs. In fourth place will be done and dusted. But for Tottenham, if they win, all of a sudden they're just a point behind, two matches left, two relegation candidates. They play Norwich, who's already going down. Burnley, who by the time they play them could also already be down. So it's going to be very, very, very tight if Arsenal do not win this game. And I'm going to be fascinated to see how they come out and approach it. You know, if Arsenal gets a draw, that's an excellent result for them. You have a 4-point lead, two games left. That means you just need to win against Everton at home or Newcastle away, and you're back in the Champions League. So I don't think Mikel Arteta is the type of manager who's just going to tell his team to go out and not play their style of football. But it wouldn't shock me in the slightest if they take the foot off the gas a little bit in terms of the press and say, hey, Tottenham, we know that you don't like having the ball a ton. We know that you're better on the counter. Attack us when you have possession instead of letting us lose the ball in your half and then attack us in transition.
It's the fine line of being a manager, because these managers drill into their team their purpose of play and how they want to play the game. Yet you look at games like this and you say, okay, Spurs is a good team breaking out, getting in front of the ball, Son, Harry Kane. This is the way they score a lot of goals. This is how they hurt people. Okay, it's natural. Yeah, we're gonna go back and maybe defend a little bit deeper for portions of the game, or maybe it's a middle third block, whatever they decide. But, that's a tricky thing to do when you spend a majority of your time playing a specific way, and sometimes the makeup of your players also don't fit into that mode. And I have seen many a team when a coach says, hey, we're going to defend deep, it registers in the brains of players that means, okay, I'm not getting this tight on people. I'm not pressuring the ball as much, which is totally tantamount to suicide. So I think it's going to be interesting. I'm not going to ask you to predict anything now until we get
it done.
Because I don't want to do that to you. But I think it's going to be fascinating. That's must-see TV on Thursday. I don't think there's any question. Now, how are you going to watch that?
Well, I've got the show at 3, so I'll be anxious for the majority of the second half, probably up through 4 o'clock or so, but I'll be able to watch the first half of it or so on my computer while I'm doing show prep in here.
Yeah, you'll be multitasking that day for sure. By the way, we're streaming at ESPN975.com. Call the show, 713-780-3776. Look, we know there are very good supporters groups in Houston for both Arsenal and Spurs. We would love to hear from an Arsenal and Spurs fan on this game. I do know there are watch parties for this being set up already. The number to call is 713-780-3776. Also, want to get your take on the Houston Dynamo. All of you out there, I see things on social media and, who's talking about the Houston Dynamo. Well, you have an opportunity here. There's an opportunity to talk about the team. How do you feel about it under the new regime now? Pat Onstad, Asher Mendelson, Paulo Nagamura. It's 3 on the trot now, losses. Paulo Nagamura in the press conference today was making it very clear this is a work in progress. For the Dynamo fan, that's a tough thing to hear all the time. But I also think you have to kind of give the new regime an opportunity here, because they're not responsible for what happened prior here in the many, many years. 713-780-3776. You have Hector Herrera coming in the summer. You just made some good business here signing the 23-year-old Adalberto Coco Carrasquilla, the Panamanian midfielder. He is, they exercised his clause, so he is now a full-time Houston Dynamo player. I think that's a big one. He's only 23 years of age. That's the kind of signing to me that is the signing of the future. Herrera comes in, You know, is he going to sit in the six deeper? What does that mean with Matias Vera, who just signed a new deal, by the way, who's probably on $750,000 a year? So, you know, there's a lot of really interesting things and dynamics going on with this team. The other dynamic is, though, it remains a team that is trying desperately to grab relevancy in this market. I would like your thoughts on any of this. 713-780-3776. All right. So, Andrew, I want to do, we're going to go a little mainstream sports here right now. So
okay.
I know you're a sports memorabilia guy. Most of the guys, you know, I know Joel Blank is. I know you guys, a lot of them are sports memorabilia guys. So we go back to 1986. You were not born, I think, right? Yeah, you were not born. So we go back to 86, and the World Cup is in Mexico. So I'm in Houston playing for the Houston Dynamo's pro soccer team back then. The World Cup's going on in Mexico. One of my teammates was Bill Irwin, who was Irish, and he went down to hang out with the Northern Ireland national team. But we go to the quarterfinals. Diego Maradona, 2 goals. Argentina defeats England. You got the whole Malvinas Falklands thing going on. There's a tie in there politically. You've got Maradona, who basically punches with his fist in the second goal in that game to knock out England. Now, the guy who made a back pass to Peter Shilton was a guy named Steve Hodge, and it was a bad back pass. And Maradona gets there first with his hand next to his head, punches it in the goal. It's an obvious handball. It's obvious to the guys in the field. They don't have the camera angles back then. So that becomes the infamous hand of God goal. Okay? So this guy, Steve Hodge, has held on, this English national team player, to this jersey for a long time. I actually saw it because it was over in Manchester in a museum. And I'm trying to see, did we get the sound from Hodge?
Yeah, we're all good to go on that.
Yeah, okay. So Steve Hodge has kept this jersey, okay, for all these years. So they put it up for auction at Sotheby's, and somebody bought it for $9.3 million. $9.3 million. Hodge never washed it. He asked for the jersey in the tunnel. He kept it very quiet. Peter Shilton, the goalkeeper, came out and said, if we knew he had it, we would have tore it to shreds because we thought Maradona was a cheat. So here's Steve Hodge on this infamous jersey. This guy just did some pretty incredible business. $9.3 million. For a jersey.
So as I walked off down one side of the pitch to go down below, he'd come to the other side with his teammates. And I just tugged on my shirt, as people do. And he just came straight across and just did one of these jobs, thanks very much, and took his shirt off. I gave him my shirt. And that really was it. 10 seconds and off he went. But no one came to me or asked a question. No one, I think, to be honest with you, no one knew I got the shirt in the first place anyway. I think really knew I got the shirt because I was his room partner. So when I got back to the hotel and my bag was opened out and all my gear put on, boots had got out and dirty stuff was got out, the shirt was got out as well, and really obviously saw it. And I can't honestly remember what his reaction was.
Now, some of his teammates, and I read an article the other day after this jersey sold, and Peter Shilton was like, oh, if we knew this, like, we were going to tear this thing to shreds because we were cheated. Here's his teammate, Peter Reed, on not being happy with Hodge swapping the jersey for Maradona.
I looked over and he said, well, what about that then? And he shows me this number 10. So not only has Maradona battered me, been scoring a goal, handled one in, Steve Hodge has shown me the shirt that they swapped. Suffice to say, I wasn't too pleased with this, and I gave Hodge the biggest b***ing he's ever had in his life. But they tell me the shirt's worth a few quid then, so Hodge had the last laugh.
Yeah, I like that. The shirt's worth a few quid. Now, you got to hope that Steve Hodge is going to throw a party for his English national team teammates from back then. Don't you think, Andrew?
I feel like $9.3 million, you've got a little money to spare if you want to, as they said, throw a couple quid onto a party or something like that, Glenn.
Yeah, they say that's the highest ever sports memorabilia sale ever.
Doesn't shock me. Yeah. Maradona's an icon. Doesn't shock me at all.
put my jersey out there. I think it went for $75. All right, do we have who do we got here? Nobo?
Yes, correct. He wants to talk about growing the game of soccer in Houston.
All right, Nobo. Tell me about growing the game in Houston, Nobo.
Yes. How are you doing today? I listen to your show all the time on radio, and I figure that we are not doing a great job on growing this great and beautiful game, not just only here in the Houston area, but in the United States. There is a potential that is not being tapped into from a marketing perspective. Some of the ideas that we have, we've tried to call the local team, even reach out to the MLS headquarters, but can't get anybody on the line. Because I'll give you just a brief example here.
I'll tell you what. Okay, hold on 1 second, Nobu, before you go on. And I like this phone call. You're going to give your number to Andrew Carlson. I'm going to connect you with somebody with the Houston Dynamo, okay? And I think okay. You're talking, are you talking specifically about the MLS product here? Is that what you're talking about?
Yes, I'm talking about the MLS. And then I have a few comments on the England, the sour grapes from the English people. Because I don't know if it was 96 World Cup or if it was 2000 World Cup. The English, the United Kingdom, they cheated Cameroon.
Yes.
With the fake penalty. That was awarded, that took England to the semifinal. It was in the quarterfinal match against Cameroon, where the England got 3 penalty kicks to beat Cameroon 3-2. So, hey, if we're crying about Maradona's hand of God, we should also cry about the unworthy penalty kicks that the English team got. But, yes, I'll be glad to share some of those thoughts on how we can grow the game and also expand the MLS. Because 20 years ago, I already had a vision of merging the MLS with the Mexican club team, the Liga MX, and to create a three-tier system with relegation.
Nobo, let me ask you a question. Are you from Cameroon?
Yeah.
Are you from Cameroon?
No, I'm from the greatest country on earth.
Nigeria. You're a Super Eagles fan. So what are you doing talking about Cameroon then?
No. Hey, I love beautiful soccer. Okay.
Okay. So
I love the U.S. national team.
Yep. Okay.
But
go on.
So I love the U.S. national team, and I tell you this: now watch out. The world should be on notice because in the next 4 years, the United States men's national team will be the greatest soccer team in the world.
Oh, I like this. Now I want to ask you something that's very important. Because I know there's a lot of Nigerians in Houston. There's a huge African soccer community here. I have always said we got to reach out to the African soccer community, these passionate fans like you. When I hear your accent, I know it's like music to my ears, right? Because I know how deep the passion for the game goes for the African soccer community. And I will just say in this moment, since you're Nigerian Super Eagles fans, right? So...
Yes.
So,
although we had a disappointing outing for the World Cup, but hey, it's still going to be a beautiful World Cup.
All right. Beautiful. So, give me really quick, and this is kind of an unfair question, but give me two things that could get the African fan, the Nigerian Super Eagle fan, out to an MLS game outside of just hey, we need a Nigerian player on the team.
Oh no! It's an outreach. In fact, the idea that I have is not only for Nigerian community or the African community. It's for the broader American community. You got to ask. If you don't ask, nobody will show up. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I have some ideas on how we can fill the BBVA stadium. Okay? I went there 2 weeks ago, and I was talking to some few people in the neighborhood, and they told me they don't even know if the MLS team is playing right here. And they live less than 200 meters away from the stadium.
Yeah.
So
no, I understand.
There are things we can organize. And also from the broadcasting perspective, there are things that need to be done to grow the game. Now, your show should not be the only show on radio on soccer.
No, it should not be.
It should not just only be on Tuesday only. We should have it 5 days of the week. I tell you this now, ESPN is a great organization, but they do more to promote hockey than to promote soccer in the United States. And that needs to change.
Okay, Nobo.
I want ESPN.
Nobo, stay with us.
Yes.
I want you to leave your number with and your email address with Andrew Carlson. Would you like me to get you a pair of tickets for the Nashville game this weekend?
That would be great, you know. But more importantly, I need you to hook me up with the
I will do that also. That way we'll have your contacts, and then one day we can bring you on and talk a segment about your ideas, community outreach, all the other things we need for relevancy and the MLS product. Nobu, thank you so much for calling tonight. We appreciate it.
I appreciate it. Hey, you do a good job now. Great job. You know, continue your good work.
All right. Thank you, Nobu. You know, I love that. When I hear a Nigerian accent, I just think of J.J. Okocha, Kanu. I just think of the festival that comes with the Nigerian fan at games and World Cups. Great stuff from Nobu. All right, a couple of quick things here. Seek performance, find luxury. Advantage BMW in Midtown. Advantage BMW Midtown, you'll experience premier service tailored for you. Excellence at Advantage BMW Midtown isn't just offered, it's expected. Discover something special, your hometown Advantage, San Jacinto and Gray. It's Advantage BMW in Midtown. Now, we do have Jonathan DeSantos, son of Club America, tonight. So I'm going to remind you right now, a huge night of soccer, July 20th, Energy Stadium. Right now, it looks like it'll be Manchester City coming in as the Premier League champions. Liverpool fans might have something to say about that. They're calling it the 2022 Copa Lone Star. It'll be Manchester City taking on Club America. All right, Jonathan Dos Santos, Miguel Layun, Guillermo Ochoa, on and on for Club America. And Jonathan will be on this show a little bit later tonight. And also, guys like Jack Grealish, Devin De Bruyne, and the man we're going to talk about in the next segment, Erling Haaland, will go, the Norwegian, from Dortmund to Manchester City. All right, right now, at 713-780-3776, caller number three will get you a pair of tickets to the Dynamo Nashville on Saturday.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters. Over 2 years since I've been in here doing a live show, so this is fun. I'm glad to be back. It gives me a different feel. I need to start coming back, Andrew. You're going to see more of me on Tuesday nights now.
Looking forward to it.
Well, maybe you aren't. Maybe
that now. We'll see.
It's a little bit better when you're looking across the glass, so it's more personal. Hey, LamontBrands.com. That's where you get your Soccer Matters t-shirts. All the proceeds go to Snowdrop Foundation, a 501c charity that provides scholarships to cancer patients, awareness and fundraising. Something very important to us here on the show, myself personally. The show is a platform for spreading pediatric cancer awareness. LamontBrands.com. I got to get you the new version too, Andrew, because I know if I slap one of those on you, we're going to sell more.
I appreciate it. I've got the old one, and I always get questions about it whenever I wear it out to do five a side or something like that.
We're going to get you the new one as well. So a big thanks to Lamont Brands, and of course, it all goes to the Snowdrop Foundation, a 501c charity, and we're pretty passionate about that. No question about it. We welcome you back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. So it's a big night up here tonight. Keyshawn Johnson's here. Everybody heard that tomorrow, the big event, the Listener Appreciation Show, will be out at St. Arnold. So I would get out there. I'd go out there and say hello to your hosts and all the guys that you love listening to on ESPN 97.5 when it comes to sports talk. All right. Erling Haaland, the Norwegian striker. Release clause triggered. Haaland is going to go from Dortmund to Manchester City. They best both Bayern Munich and Real Madrid to get him. Now, he's only 21 years of age. Let's think about this for a second. He's going to the Etihad. He's going to be one of the highest paid players at the club. From what I understand, he will not be the highest paid player because that is one Kevin De Bruyne. He's not going to surpass his salary. But when I think of Kevin De Bruyne and I think of the technical ability of those players servicing Erling Haaland, who, by the way, is not a false nine or whatever other fancy name you want to call an underneath striker. He is not a false nine. This is a guy that number one can absolutely fly in transition. Excellent in the air. He's a finisher. He's only 21 years of age. Guardiola now has a very different striker, and it's going to be very interesting to watch how this all comes about. Now, the interesting thing is, for us here in Houston, with Manchester City coming here July 20th to Energy Stadium to take on Club America, well, Haaland's going to report for training on July 1st. So you're likely going to see him playing. He will be in Houston. So don't forget, as I mention it repeatedly throughout the show tonight, get your tickets to Manchester City and Club America starting at just $35 on Ticketmaster and at CopaDeLoneStar.com. That's CopaDeLoneStar.com. Two of the biggest brands in the world. Club America, no slouch, and in the playoffs. And we will have Jonathan DeSantos, one of their midfielders, on the show here tonight. So back to Erling Haaland. Don't forget a couple of things here. Manchester City was pursuing Harry Kane of Spurs. Let's look at some of the numbers in the data here, because, Andrew, this is off the charts. 41 goals in 41 games last season for Haaland for Dortmund. 15 goals in 17 matches for Norway. This guy gets chances every game. He scores almost every game he plays in. This year he's got 36 goals and 34 appearances for club and country. These are ridiculous numbers. This is a 21-year-old guy. It's off the chart numbers.
He's a prodigy. He's a goal-scoring prodigy. There's no two ways about it. If he stays healthy, he's going to put up numbers wherever he goes. And with the service that City's going to give him, I almost shudder to think at the amount of goals I feel like he could score as long as he stays fit.
It's going to be fascinating. Couple of things here that kind of fell in City's favor. Number one was he was very interested in playing for Pep Guardiola. He was also very interested to know that Pep Guardiola was going to be here more than a year. So Guardiola just signed a new deal that I think takes him through 2025. Doesn't mean those deals can't be broken, but that's something I think that Haaland wanted to hear and know, that Pep Guardiola is going to be around for a while because he wants to play for him. His father also played at Manchester City. So as a kid, he was a City fan. And his father was very instrumental in the negotiations. His father's name was Alfie. If you remember Mina Raiola, who's the big agent, he was unwell. He passed last month. His father had to become a part of this. By the way, 713-780-3776 to call in tonight on any topic you want. 713-780-3776. So he wanted assurances that Pep Guardiola would be around. He got that. Remember, he started at Red Bull Salzburg. So if we look at him as a player and the dynamics of him, and we sort of deconstruct him, crazy good instincts, ruthless finisher around the box, strong, can look after himself, powerful man, complete package, scores goals with both feet, aerial target, that'll help City on set pieces as well, brave around the goal, technical, powerful, and again, can run in transition. Can absolutely run and be a threat in behind defenses. I mean, when you watch that guy turn in midfield and run with a ball at his feet, you can go and look at footage of him, and he'll pick up a ball, and he's allowed to turn in midfield. If he's running at you, it's like a one-man wrecking machine. And I don't know if he has maybe as much change of direction as the real Ronaldo back in the day, but he does have the power and explosiveness of the real Ronaldo.
He's a freight train with the ball.
Oh, yeah. Ronaldo back in the day, remember him at Inter Milan? He was like a slalom skier. Like, guys would bounce off him. He was like a running back. I mean, I would put him up against Keyshawn Johnson. You know what I mean? Hope Keyshawn didn't hear that. He's probably out here. Who's this guy talking about me? But he can fly on the counterattack. The question is, how will he fare maybe against deeper defending teams? And this guy's technical as well. 6'4". Only thing that's a negative is he's had some injury problems. And, of course, he's going to get physical treatment with big center backs in the Premier League. But I'm sure he's had some of that in the Bundesliga as well. And the only guys scoring more goals than him these days are Robert Lewandowski of Bayern and Kylian Mbappe. But that's in more games than Haaland has played. So the keys, the ability to work with Pep Guardiola. lifelong commitment to City as a fan, as a kid. He made it clear that he wants to play with guys like Kevin De Bruyne and Phil Foden, who are going to be an incredible supply line for him. And he's going to equally be good for De Bruyne and Foden. And he wants to win trophies, right? So if you want to win trophies, you know, you're going to teams that are in it each and every year. And Sunday, he'll play his final game for Dortmund against Hertha Berlin. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number to call in tonight. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight. So we're going to get some Premier League talk in as well. We're going to get a bit of the audio. In fact, let's do this right now. So Real Madrid, I don't know how you feel about that. That was just stunning to me. Have you processed that, Andrew, that comeback?
Only because it's Madrid. If it was any other club, absolutely not. But they've got some just mystic quality about them where no matter what the situation is, they have the mentality and the ability to find a way to win the tie. It's incredible.
It must be. I like that mystic quality. I think there is something about their ability to come back, to fight for the badge. You know, I'm not saying that there are other teams in the world that don't have the same appreciation, but there is just something about them coming back in games you think they're dead, coming back in games you think they've been outplayed, and it really is pretty remarkable. And City had an incredible aggregate lead, and then all of a sudden Rodrigo in the 90th in stoppage time, and then Benzema in extra time from the penalty spot. And on a day where Benzema missed some clear chances, you'd have to say you thought City was going to win this game. I did think Ederson was really nervous looking. I remember a tight shot of him taking a goal kick early in the game. There was an anxiety in that guy's face. I don't know. I just felt that. That's something that I observed and saw. And I also thought that on that 90th minute goal from Rodrigo, here's what it sounded like to make it 1-1.
Rodrigo, Nacho, Camavinga, coaxed up towards Benzema.
Yeah, so that's how you grab momentum back. And then, of course, Rodrigo, I thought Ederson could have got off his line and dove at his feet. I thought Ederson was like he was in cement. That was a play he needed to make. But I go back to looking at his face in the beginning of this game. This guy looked like a deer in headlights. I don't think any question. All right, 713-780-3776. George wants to talk about Erling Haaland to Manchester City. George.
I just listened to you talk about that that Man City Real game, and yeah, it was nuts. But the first game was the big problem because Real Madrid, like, that should not have been 4-3. That game could have been 7-0 Man City. I mean, and all of Real's goals were against the run of play. Like, it was just such a, you know, a bunch of lapses of concentration by Man City. Real Madrid actually earned the second game, I thought, but. I love Haaland to Man City. It's a great idea. I loved the idea of Harry Kane going over there. It would have been just as wonderful. I hate that lack of parity. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know it's not just that they're buying Haaland. Haaland could have gone to Chelsea for whatever amount of money he wanted to or anywhere else. But, man, after seeing Man City get the guy that wasn't any good. They bought the other guy with always wears the headband just because they could, just because, well, they got to buy somebody. Like, I hate that feeling where you know that the good teams are only going to
talking
get
about
better
Jack Grealish.
Yes, thank you. Like, he's just been such a disappointment.
Jack Grealish. Okay, so you're making a great point about the first leg. City should have had a bigger cushion going back for the second one, and you also mm-hmm. are making a very good point because Jack Grealish should have scored a third goal for City in that game and boosted the aggregate more. But listen, George, quickly make your point. I got to get to break. What do you got? Anything else?
Oh, just I love the show, and I love soccer, and I like that there's a forum where we can talk about the biggest things that happen. Thanks, guys.
And I like your comment. Thank you, George. So George weighs in there. We'll take a quick break here. I'll remind you again, the show is presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Don't forget, Energy Stadium, July 20th. Get your tickets. It is Manchester City and Club America. Erling Haaland and company coming here. Kevin De Bruyne, Pep Guardiola. They'll all be here. Club America as well. Tickets $35 on Ticketmaster. And, wow, this is a classic here. BT Express. Do it till you're satisfied. We'll take a break.
This is ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, you're never going to hear the legendary Dick Dale on any other sports shows in Houston. I'm sorry, you won't. This is why we're at top of the first division here right now, the Premier League. Because we got Andrew Carlson. Saw him many a time. That's a surf guitar. That is a great sound. That is just so unique. Welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They're committed to working for you 24/7, nights and weekends. Car, boat, motorcycle, maritime accident. These are nervy times. Few things are worse than seeing a family member injured. Don Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. DaspitLaw.com. They are on your side. They are on our side. And to the point of everybody who listens in, they help get us on the air along with our other great sponsors. So we got a lot going on. Eintracht Frankfurt, Rangers, we mentioned that's going to be the Europa League final. Real Madrid, Liverpool, that'll be big out at Hugh O'Connor's out on I-10 in the Marquee Entertainment Center. Still stunned about that unreal Real Madrid comeback. All right, we're going to switch gears a little bit here and talk some Houston Dynamo, because a big week for the Dynamo tomorrow night. And by the way, for all of you who are out there saying nobody talks about the Houston Dynamo, why don't we talk about it? Well, you have an opportunity right now in this segment. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. How do you feel about things so far right now for the Dynamo? It's a couple of losses in a row, struggling in attack, heading into tomorrow night against San Antonio FC. And then on Saturday, they will take on Nashville. That's a return of former goalkeeper Joe Willis. And, of course, a very good attacking fulcrum for Nashville in Hani Mukhtar. So the Dynamo go down to D.C. It's a game Eddie Robinson and I called on AT&T Sportsnet. We'll have the call on Saturday on the Nashville game as well. Let's go to the game's first goal here in the first half. Taxi Funtas is a guy that has been brought over, played in Austria for Rapid Vienna, has played for Greece. Taxi Funtas will score the game's first goal here in the nation's capital.
Wrestle drives this one towards the top of the box. It's 1-0 DC United. It was not hit clean, but guess who it is? Taxi Fountas.
Yeah, and he drifted off to the far post. He was completely unmarked in that position there. United would get a second in the first half. Rainy weather down there, about 50 degrees. A different environment than playing here in Houston, where it's up around 90s these days. Here's goal number two. And again, it's Taxi Funtas. And this guy is producing right now for DC United. You spend your money in Major League Soccer in attacking positions. Here's goal number two.
First time cross. Oh, Funtas. Is he going to get a shot? Oh, he is. He's blasted it into the upper corner. The Greek is now becoming a god in D.C., and it's 2-0 D.C. United on the stroke of halftime here.
So he just basically outmuscled Adam Lundqvist at the far post, so that made it 2-0. Here's Paulo Nagamura, and listen, we made this point before the game. We made this in the pregame show. The Dynamo defending set pieces, it has been an issue. This is soundbite number four, Andrew.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it cannot be a trend negatively for us. I think it's something that we got to look internally and assess and make sure that it's not hurting us on games again. I think there's too many times in the last few games, so we need to correct that and make sure that we're doing better on that aspect as well.
All right. For me personally, defending set pieces is all about not dropping your guard. It's about ultimate concentration. It's about ultimate focus. It's about expecting the unexpected. It's about being sharp. It's about being able to react. If you remember, the Dynamo struggled in that department in the loss to FC Dallas. So it was FC Dallas, a late collapse game that was certainly winnable. And I think actually for the course of that game, until the substitutions were made, that the Dynamo were the better soccer team on that day. Austin FC was a better soccer team against the Dynamo here, and their possession game is maybe the best in the league. It may be early to say that. We're only 9-10 games in. But the Dynamo right now are struggling to score goals. They got one against Dallas. They got one against Austin FC. I mean, the one against Austin FC is Sebas Ferrer from the halfway line. This is not going to happen game in and game out. I think we all know that. 713-780-3776. And then at D.C., shut out. Did not look good in attack at D.C. Sputtered. Your playmaker, Darwin Quintero, right now, if you want to get into data and analysis, has had, I think, 11 key passes in 9 games. It's not enough. Fafa Pico likely going to return to the lineup this weekend. So they do have some real problems with their attack, and they have problems with a big investment in Sebas Ferrer from Paraguay, who has scored 4 goals. Now, if you just look at that and you haven't watched the games, which a lot of the country hasn't watched, you're going to go, wow, what a great return. And it is a great return, but this guy is not getting many chances at all. He is getting absolutely little when it comes to a wide game. In Dallas, he scored because Adam Lundqvist got wide and found him in the box. And I really think the key to unleashing Sebas Ferrer is width and a better wide game. I know I sound like a broken record. Here's Paulo Nagamura on the struggle to get Sebas Ferrer, their Paraguayan striker, involved.
No, I think, like I say in the beginning, I think first half we were poor. We're poor with the ball. If we're losing the ball every time in the midfield, we're never going to be able to advance on the field and put Sebastian where he needs to be. Second half, I think, was a little better. Like I said, he has a half chance there that I haven't seen the video yet, but they call offside. If he's not, it's a PK. There's another chance that he puts Mati, and Mati misses the shot. He kicks riding on their goalkeeper. So he was around. He was in dangerous areas. And the thing about Seba, he drags defenders. He drags attentions, what opens space for different guys. So he's a team player, and we're gonna keep using the best way that we can possibly can.
So it's a work in progress. Today, Paulo Nagamura said that. He continues to say that. And again, I say in the context of what Dynamo fans have gone through in recent times, yeah, I get it. It's hard to hear work in progress and reboot and, you know, rebuild year after year after year after year. It's tough, but you also have to be fair, and you have to give the new GM, Pat Onstad, you got to give Asher Mendelson, you got to give Paulo Nagamura the time and the effort to get it done. Now, I think Nagamura makes a very, very good comment there when it comes to the possession game. It was non-existent in D.C., unforced errors everywhere. I don't know if that was an adjustment to the surface. Seems to me other people got adjusted to a slick surface. But he said it. You can't get up the field unless you have a decent possession game. And part of the new purpose of play under Paulo Nagamura, differing from Todd Ramos, is that he wants and expects his team to be a better possession team. I think Tab Ramos wanted that too, but then just realized it couldn't happen with that crop of players. Okay, so we look at the lineup, though. It's a lot of the same guys you're expecting now to bring a possession game in order to get you up the field, in order to get your center forward, Sebas Ferrer, in the penalty box. Do you know Sebas Ferrer had one touch inside the penalty box against Austin FC. That is a problem. Okay, that is not something to turn your head at. That is a problem, especially when you've spent the money on him to be the guy who's a finisher. He's not Erling Haaland. He's not going to pick a ball up at the halfway line and slalom his way through a team. He needs good wide play, and that's going to be on Fafapiko. That's going to be on Corey Baird. That's going to be on Tyler Pasher. That's going to be on Adam Lundqvist to get forward. That's going to be on Griffin Dorsey. So to make it clear, this is really a pretty simple problem that has to be fixed. And to me, easy from the outside here, right? I'm not the coach, but it's a wide game and better possession and getting up the field. And better decision-making has got to be thrown in there, I think, as well. All right, so here's Paulo Nagamura. This is soundbite number 6 on the team's mentality.
Mentality is that we're riding a tough storm right now, and we gotta put our head on and work. The only way that we're gonna turn this around is working. Make sure that we being honest with ourselves, assessing what we've done wrong, and make sure that we're turning this around in the next game.
So that's Paulo Nagamura. It's a big one tomorrow night because, you know, based on the fact you've lost 3 in a row, you don't want to lose to a USL championship team. Now, here's the conundrum for Paulo Nagamura. The league is important. He made it very clear today the league is more important than the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. I'm hoping to see the 17-year-old Brooklyn Reigns again. I'm really, really excited about that young man's potential and how far he can take his game, because I think out of anything that we've seen in this academy ever, this is a player to me that projects farther out. 17 years of age, he's got a level of maturity and composure. He was bought and brought to Houston. He did not come through the Dynamo Academy, and he's now got the advantage of the under-23 team, which is essentially reserve team. Now, if that wasn't here, there would be no Brooklyn Reigns here. Okay, it's very simple. We just cut to the chase here on this stuff. There would be no Brooklyn Reigns here without that team and the knowledge that he can get those games and also train with the first team. And at some point, I would say you may see him make his debut for the first team this year. 713-780-3776. Where are you, Dynamo fan? Are you asleep? 713-780-3776. Houston Dash got a win in Kansas City 2-0 this past weekend. So good for them. They're now 1-1 in the NWSL. It's still undetermined what's happening with James Clarkson, the head coach, who has been suspended. So we'll see what happens there. One more here. Griffin Dorsey on what the team needs. No. Let's go to number 8 because I like this soundbite. Griffin Dorsey on if there are any similarities to last year's team. This is a good soundbite.
Zero. There's 0% similarity between this year and when I arrived last year. We have a team that's willing to fight. We have a team that's willing to give everything that we've got. And we have a coach who's here for us. And we have an environment where winning is our only goal. And we are going to keep fighting for that.
All right. I like that. I like that. That's pretty straight up from Griffin Dorsey. Griffin Dorsey owes a lot to Todd Ramos because Todd Ramos brought him here and gave him a lot of minutes, gave him the confidence and the opportunity to get himself to a point where right now he is a starter for the Houston Dynamo. And he started this last game in a higher position. That was an attempt, I think, from Paulo Nagamura to try and mix things up a little bit, which you got to give Nagamura credit for that. It also tells you that in some ways you're not happy with your current crop of wingers. Okay, so let's also be really honest here and up front. I think everybody can handle a little bit of healthy pressure and a little bit of healthy criticism, because that is something we need with the MLS product in Houston. I don't think there's any question. And Paulo Nagamura also then was able to play Zeca as a right back. And I'm wondering what the Dynamo fans thought of Zeca's performance. He certainly is a very technical player, a la Brazilians. But as he gets more minutes, I think the expectation for him is going to rise. I think Steve Clark has been the best offseason signing for the Houston Dynamo, probably along with Sebas Ferreira. All right. They fall like dominoes. Let's hope that's what happens to San Antonio FC And let's hope that happens to Nashville this weekend when they come in to take on the Houston Dynamo. HoustonDynamo.com is where you get your tickets. Okay, right now, I want to remind you of a couple of things. Manchester City, July 20th, Club America. Tickets right now, $35. Get them at Ticketmaster, CopaTheLoneStar.com. We got Jan Christensen, Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture, his segment coming up. I want to remind you about LamontBrands.com. Get your Soccer Matters t-shirts there. All the proceeds go to the Snowdrop Foundation. Big shout out to our great friends at Advantage BMW in Midtown and our presenting sponsor, John Daspit, and the Daspit Law Firm. Right now, a four-pack to tomorrow night's Houston Dynamo San Antonio FC Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup game. Four-pack to caller number four at 713-780-3776.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.